Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Good morning, church. I am excited to be back up here to teach again on a fifth Sunday. If you don't know what fifth Sundays are all about here at Streams, we get the youth to take over. So we had a bunch of youth students, some of our youth leaders, some youth alumni up on the worship team this morning, and then Randy, he's a super senior. He'll be graduating, I think, next year, maybe, if we're lucky. But he was up there. We're glad to have him as well to hang out and play the electric guitar. Was anyone a little chilly this morning on the way to church? Were you? I was not, because my wife and I just got back from Washington. We spent some time in Linden and Bellingham and Seattle, and it is much colder there, much rainier. But we were out in t-shirts and shorts some days. We were just soaking it up, the 30-degree, 40-degree weather. It was wonderful. To come back here, I'm like, it's 60 degrees, and it feels really, really warm. So, but shout out to all of our youth leaders. We had Bailey come up and do announcements, and just thank you guys. And we have some youth that are helping in the sound booth, as always, the sound booth and the live stream booth. But it's just always good to do that. If you don't know me, I'm Isaac. My name's Isaac, and I'm the youth pastor here at Streams. We do junior high and high school together. And it's just nice to be able to come up every once in a while and share what's on my heart and what we're talking about. Who was at Trunk or Treat last night? I saw a lot of you guys there. Yeah? Good. We saw Sven. Anyone see Sven? No? No one knows who that is. I saw him. If you know, you know, I guess. But it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. All the candy that was being passed out, all the games being played. It was a ton of fun. So shout out to everyone who went with there and helped out, did a car. It's a lot of work. Some of you guys went above and beyond, and it was really noticeable. So that was awesome. But this Sunday, I get to start us off in a new series on baskets in the Bible. And we're actually going to be taking a class at the end of this. We're all going to be weaving. We have a wicker basket artist coming in. We're going to do it all. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. That would be cool, though, if we were taking a class to like wicker a basket or recane a chair or something. That would be kind of cool, but maybe another time. But this morning, I get to talk about baskets being used for unintended purposes. Do you know what the purpose is for a basket? What a basket was made for? Well, I thought the basket was made for one thing and one thing only. To hold stuff, right? For storage. But I was thinking, if I say that on stage, someone's going to be like, well, actually, baskets can be used for all kinds of things. So I Googled it, and I was like, what could baskets be used for, possibly besides storage? And if you look here, Sarah Joy wrote a blog on it. And so she loves using her wicker baskets for storing towels and sheets. Or you might do it as a side table decor. That's an option. For the plants, you know, wall decor, more storage, of course, because why not? Baskets on top of things, nice. Countertops, tables. You can put a basket anywhere. So many uses, but mainly for storage. And it made me think, if I saw someone putting a basket on top of something else, like this, if a basket was covering something else, I would think, well, first of all, what's underneath that basket? And why is it on that thing? What is it hiding? What is it keeping away from sight? And Jesus actually talks about us this way, and he talks about our faith this way, because he says we are lights in a dark world. We are lights in a dark, dark world, and it's not because we call ourselves Christians, and it's not because we go to church every Sunday, or mostly every Sunday. But it's because we've accepted Christ as our Savior, as our Messiah, and we have made him the King of our lives. But what does it mean to be a light then? To shine, to be a light in a dark path? We see the word light a lot in the Bible. If you study it, if you read it, sometimes we'll mention it in passages or messages. And it's in our nursery rhymes. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. But it's kind of Christianese. It's kind of a term that we throw around, like you want to be a light, or I want to be a light, or Jesus is my light, the Word is my light, the lamp under my feet. And I don't know about you, but I have no illumination qualities on or about my person most of the time. I can't light up anything just by myself, but still, we're supposed to let it shine. So the way that we shine as lights, the way that the Bible talks about shining as lights, is specifically talking about our faith, our way of life, and our discipleship of Jesus. And the way that I shine as a light, as a follower, is different than you will shine as a light. It's totally different because we're different people. All of us are different. And God designed it that way so that each of us can shine uniquely and independently where we're at. And he's perfect, and he made it that way for a reason. But it's difficult to be a light in a dark place. And some of us really probably feel that in our jobs, maybe in our homes, in our families, our workplaces with friends, maybe close friends that do not know God. And it takes a real effort to live out this way rather than hiding it or to cover it up, to not let it shine. It takes a lot more effort to shine than to hide it. And we all have a relationship as followers of Christ with the creator of the universe. We have a relationship with the God who created everything. And to know that and to not be shouting it from the rooftops or going on the street corners just saying, we have this light in us. Why not do that? But I don't do that. I'm not on the street corners 24/7 screaming, the Lord is my light and he should be yours too. Get saved. None of us do that. But that's the cool thing about our God, is he created us all uniquely and independently to expand his kingdom in his way, in his time. So if we were all doing that, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. If we were all on the street corners, and we weren't in the schools, if we weren't in the workplaces, if we weren't in retail, if we weren't in construction, if we weren't in those places, we were all just Christians with lights that love our God, and we love our other Christians, it would be pointless. Jesus speaks on this when he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I like to just read some of the Bible. I like to let the Bible do the teaching. So we're going to read up to the point that we're going to be stopping at. But this first section of the Sermon on the Mount is a challenge to everyone who can hear his voice. It's the challenge to the disciples around him and the crowds of people that he's preaching to. And it's a call to live, because he says, blessed are these people, blessed are those people. And they're not easy, but this is what Jesus says. He says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then Jesus says directly to his disciples, his followers, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? If it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So as his followers and his disciples, we are the spiritual flavor in the world. We are the only light, the only spiritual flavor. We are the only salt. But if salt isn't salty, it's just a rock. It's just a mineral. And it doesn't have that salty quality. It's literally just, it's no different from the rocks that are outside. So what good is a rock on your food that has no flavor? If we are salt by definition as followers of him, but we have no flavor, then we're not really salt. Or we're not really useful salt, kind of useless salt. We're just a rock trying to do something else that we're not salty at. And Jesus is saying that we're the special seasoning, we're the secret ingredient, but if we're not doing what we were created to do, in that case, be salty, then what's the point of having it anyway? What's the point of putting salt on something if it's not salty? But he says this right after, and this is what I want to spend some time in. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people put a lamp or light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand and give it and it gives light to all in the house. In Jesus' time, lighting was very different than it is today. They did not have lights like we do, indoor lights, fluorescent lights, light bulbs. They didn't have outdoor lights inside or outside their houses. They didn't have street lights. Has anyone ever driven like up to Payson or on the winding roads? There's no street lights and you're just driving at night and you turn your headlights off for a second? Just me? Just want to see how dark it is? Because you can't see anything. I don't recommend that. Maybe just for a second. You turn it off, you're like, wow, it's really dark. If I didn't have lights, I would not know where the road is. Don't do that. But they wouldn't have any lights besides sunlight when it was out, and then candlelight. They would have candles and lamps and lampstands. And they couldn't take out their iPhone when it was convenient and shine their flashlight on the way to the bathroom, like we all do, right? They did not have lights they could just flick on whenever they, you know, they didn't have sunlight. What they did is they had a lamp, and they probably didn't have many, but if it was a room, they would have a lamp in that room, and they would strategically put it so where it would light the whole room. They would do it so it was purposeful, and it was strategic. It was on purpose, and it was for that reason, to light up the whole room. And it was a big deal to put it in a place where everyone can see. So have you ever wondered what good it is to have a lamp or a light that is covered, or a light that is under a basket? Have you ever seen that? Or you're going to right now. So this is what a lamp under a basket looks like. If you didn't know any better, you would think there's probably a light under there, but it's not really doing anything. It's not very effective. But as soon as I lift it off, you can see just how much it lights up the rest of the room. I can see all your faces now. You can probably see mine. I'm all underlit, probably looking a little scary. But even if this lamp, this light, is doing its job, right, lighting, being a light, under this basket, what's the point of having it if it's just covered? If it's not doing its job when it's covered, but if it's lighting when it's uncovered and it's not hidden, then you can see everything. And this is what Jesus says in the very next verse. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So just like our lamp, our light, our faith, our way of life according to Jesus, our discipleship of Jesus, it is meant to be seen by the whole world, the whole room. It's meant to be seen. It's not meant to be covered. Because what's the point of having a lamp if it's covered? So the commandment here, the encouragement from Jesus, is don't cover it up. You've got this light in your life, so don't, I'm going to turn this off so it doesn't look too weird on the cameras. So don't cover it up. Don't obscure its luminosity. But how do we do that? How do we become a practical light in our lives, a practical lamp that is to be shining and not be hidden? Well, the most important question to ask right from the get-go, before we talk about being a lamp to our homes, to our communities, to the rest of the world, is to look at where are we getting our light from? What is our light? Because if I'm the only light in my life, it's coming from me, it's not coming from God. But I need a light. And it can't just be my wife's light. It can't just be my community's light. I need a light for my own. And in John 8:12, it says, God is our light. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them. This is when he's speaking with the Pharisees, and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This is the same light, a life-giving light that we're talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. In 1 John verses 5 through 7, chapter 1, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So what are we doing to make God the light in our life? Because that's first and foremost, the most important thing. How is God the light in our life? Before we can be a light for others, we have to have our light be God, right? So this verse in 1 John, I thought this was really interesting too, is saying that before fellowship with others, the fellowship with others should be a byproduct of walking in the light that is God, not a prerequisite. So you don't walk with others that are in the light before you walk with God that is your light. So it says right here, if we say we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So it's a cause and effect from that. So in order for us to shine to the rest of the world, we have to get our own light right with God. Once we're individually walking in the light, that's when God is our light, that is when we can really shine in a unique way in all of these different areas of our life. So as individuals, we're created to be different from each other. God created us all different. The way that we talk, the stories that we have, the places that we are, the people that we know. God has created us all to light the world connectively. But it shouldn't start with the world. It should start with our relationship with God. But once that is right, once you have a light that is God, that is the light of your life, then we can be a light that is shining. So I wanted to show you a couple things, because after you get it right with God, what do you do next? Well, I would say you have to be a light in your own home, to your own family, those around you, those closest to you. So the question is, how are you shining to those closest around you? And these are a couple things that I think are really important. So if you want to snap a picture, if you want to take a note, if you want to just jot it down, this is good. Number one, maybe say this to yourself, right, this week. I will be a merciful peacemaker in my house this week. That's how I'm going to be a light. I will pray for strength and wisdom for myself and my family. That's how I'm going to be a light. And three, my love will be evident and abundant. That's how I'm going to shine in my home this week. What about a light in your church or your community? How will you shine in your fellowship with other disciples of God? Because that's another important part. So if your home is shining, you're shining in your home, you've got your light right with God, what's the next step? Because it shouldn't stop there, just in your home. The question is, how will you shine in your fellowship? Oh, I already said that. Number one is, I will hunger and thirst with other Christians who will push me forward rather than bring me down. That's something that should be on the forefront. Number two, I will strive to be pure in heart, regardless if I stumble in my walk. Because you're going to stumble. We're all going to stumble. But to strive for a pure heart, that's what Jesus is looking for. Number three, I will be humble and gentle with other believers, even if I disagree with them or they disagree with me. Meekness is important. Okay, finally, how can I be a light in my global community? We talked about that this morning, with touching those outside of our community on a global scale, people that you don't even know. How will you shine to those all around the world that you don't even know? Maybe you'll never meet. The first one is, I will stand with those persecuted for righteousness' sake. Imagine if it was you right now in Israel. Imagine if it was you in these places that if you're found out to be a Christian, or if you're holding a Bible, you could be put to death. We don't live in a country like that. We're blessed to live here. But imagine if it was you. Put yourself in those shoes that are persecuted just for believing that Christ is their Savior. Number two, I will pray for those in need across all nations because we are called to do so. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people. That's before he talks about those in authority, but for all people, people in all nations, regardless of their status or if they're American or not. Number three, I will give cheerfully, not reluctantly or under compulsion, whatever the Lord puts on my heart to give. I think that was really important because we talked about us giving to this, organization. And we're able to do that as a church, right? But we're also called to give personally to our local church, to other missions, missionaries that are called to the missions field all over the world. What we're asked by God to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And I put these together. I put this list together, these practical steps, not because I just think they're cool and important, and these are the way that I live out my life. No, I mean, we should. We should all live out our lives this way. But this is not just my wisdom. This is literally, a lot of these are lifted straight from the scripture that we just read before talking about the light. When Jesus said, blessed are those. Let's look at that scripture again. It's just that next slide, I think. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for their kingdom, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. So these are all practical ways to live out shining your light in all of these different areas of life. But I want to encourage you that God has created you uniquely from me. Like, you do not want to shine like Isaac, because Isaac shines in a unique way. That's probably, you're not me. You're not where I'm at. I'm not where Tony's at. I'm not where Pastor Sean's at, even though we're all very close. We're in very unique spaces in life. We've got our unique stories. We've got our unique victories that God has done in our lives, and we're called to shine in that uniqueness. But we can't do that if we don't have it right with God first, in our homes second, in our church, in our community, and then to the world. Because if you're shining to the world and you're not right with God, there's a basket over your lamp. The last thing I want is to be a light that is under a basket. A light that is shining. Maybe I am right with God, but I'm not shining in my home. Maybe I'm right in my home, but I'm not giving anything to my local church. I'm not giving anything to ministries around the world that are hurting. I'm not praying for other countries that don't have it as good as me, where I can come to church every Sunday. We can do all these fun events and praise the name of Jesus. We can put it up on the signs outside. But it's not the same when the light is covered by these things. Because God has created each of us as beautiful and unique lights that we're all supposed to shine exactly where we're at, exactly what season you're in. You're in it for a reason. But I encourage you to pray about this. God, how do you want me to shine this week in my home, in my family, in my community? How do you want me to shine at church on Sunday? How do you want me to shine at this parent-teacher conference or this work meeting that I've been anxious about? How do you want me to shine there? Because it's easy to cover it up in these different areas. It's easy to shine here on Sundays because we're encouraged to. Everyone's raising their hands. But it's hard to shine at Costco. It's just tougher. Maybe they don't know you're Christian unless you're wearing a Beyond Sunday shirt, and they ask. But it's not as easy. So whatever spot you're in, we're called to shine. But that's unique. I can't tell you how to shine because I'm shining the best I can. I stumble all the time. But I just want to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to invite the worship team on up. Because I just want to pray for us individually as these lights that are beautifully, wonderfully created to shine. But how can we shine the best to where we're at? How can we not cover our lamps when it's convenient, when it's easy, when it makes more sense to cover it for this situation? How can we be right with God so we can be shining to the rest of the world? I'm just going to pray that over all of us because I think we all need it. We can all be a little brighter. I know we can. So Lord, we just come to you this morning on this fifth Sunday where the youth get to take the stage and praise your name. We just ask that you can just speak into our hearts the specific way that you want us to shine, to be that lamp on the hill, to be the city that cannot be covered, Lord. We know that we have to be right with you. We have to be right in our home. We have to shine in our homes. We have to shine in our churches and our community and our fellowship with other Christians. And we want to shine to everyone, Lord. We want the people that do not know your name to come to know your name. And you have called us all to do that by shining in a world full of darkness. So Lord, just speak to our hearts this morning. Put it on our hearts to shine in a new way, to maybe uncover the basket for the first time in a while, and just get our light from you for a moment before we do anything else. Lord, just speak to us. Speak to us this morning. We give you all the praise, and we are so grateful to even know you, to have a relationship with you. We want to know you more, Lord, this morning. So we just lift up your name and praise you.